This is a podcast from the AHRC ICT Methods Network at www.methodsnetwork.ac.uk.
Last 5 years I've been working for the Corpus of Ramana Sculpture in Britain and Ireland, CRSBI. In my paper, I'm going to present the computing history of this project, its aims, users' feedback, and possible future developments. I decided to approach these issues by raising two questions. What does the creation of a corpus involve, and how does digital technology affect corpus scholarship? A number of people at this seminar talked about the distinctions, sometimes problematic distinctions, between data collection and interpretation, recording and interpretation, inventories and hierarchies of collected data. Some of the same issues will echo in my paper. A published multi-volume corpus is commonplace in many academic disciplines. In visual culture studies and the history of art in particular, some corpora have established such a high reputation over the last 50 years or so that it is enough to refer to the Corpus Rubenianum Ludwig Burckhardt or the Corpus Vitrarum Medievi, to give just two examples, to call upon the highest standards of scholarship within the respective fields and subjects. It is very much hoped that comparable reputation will eventually be bestowed upon the corpus of Ramana sculpture. The project started in 1988 and would be nearing its completion were it not for the lack of funding. In the field of the historiography of medieval sculpture, the notable examples of corpora include the Corpus della Scultura Alto Medievale, which covers pre-Romanesque sculpture in Italy, organized by region, the Corpus of Anglo-Saxon Stone Sculpture in England, organized by county, and the Corpus of Romanesque Sculpture in American collections, which covers large-scale sculpture in wood and stone from various sites in Western Europe. The American corpus consists of two volumes and includes basic data, description, analysis, and at least one photograph per entry. The corpus of Romanesque sculpture shares similarities with the corpora just listed, while in many respects it is distinctly different. In terms of institutional affiliation and profile, the CRSBI benefits from the support of the British Academy, similarly to the corpus of Anglo-Saxon sculpture and the corpus Vitrarum. Since 1995, both the Corpus of Romanesque Sculpture and the Corpus Vitrarum have been hosted by the Courtauld Institute of Art in London. In recent years, both CRSBI and the Corpus Vitrarum have benefited from substantial grants from the Arts and Humanities Research Council, then board, which also funded the technical support both projects had received from the Center for Computing in the Humanities at King's. The Corpus Vitrarum has been referred to as an international inventory of existing medieval stained glass bundles arranged by country according to their present location. Both projects, the CRSBI and the Corpus Vitrarum, have been likened, even confused, even within the Courtauld, and especially after the Corpus Vitrarum has complemented its impressive book series with an online picture archive of some 13,000 images, which was launched in 2004. While these two projects share common grounds, last but not least, the friendship of the respective teams. So it's friendship not within one project, within two projects. They are organized differently. The digital methodologies they have adopted are also distinctly different and serve different purposes. The CRSBI was possibly one of the earliest projects in the field to have not only envisaged computerization of its material, but also made it its main objective. At the very first meeting of the project committee in July 1988, it was agreed that the form of catalog entries should be designed, I quote, with the criterion of suitability for the computer in mind. This is 1988. Equally, that the glossary of terms should be revised to suit this purpose. It was agreed that the project developed a database for the use of field workers as well as published books. Under the item titled End Product, Copyright and Access, it was agreed that, I quote, one aim was the production of a comprehensive archive in the form of a computerized database. It was appreciated that field workers would naturally want to see publication in book form. It was possible to envisage a range of different publications, from fully illustrated catalogs to annotated hand lists. In 1991, the project's committee recalled that the creation of a text image database was the project's first priority. Following a number of trials carried out with other software by Seamus Ross of the British Academy, a relational access database was developed by Hazel Gardner in 1995 and has since become an important repository of data as well as a management tool for the project's editors. The possibility of making the corpus accessible over the internet was first looked into in summer 1995. However, at that time, the Courtauld Institute, where the project moved to from the British Academy, had no internet access. The suggestion of, I quote, storing text in a hypertext format in anticipation of it becoming available on the internet, end quote, was put forward in November 1995. Since the launch of the project's website in 2001, the corpus has published solely online. The project's homepage originally introduced the corpus as the first fully searchable database of British and Irish Romanesque stone sculpture. In April 2004, the wording has been changed to read the first digital archive of Romanesque sculpture, thus reflecting the semantic shift in the understanding of multifunctionality of electronic resources of that kind. The idea of books and other paper publications has been postponed, or rather left primarily at discretion of individual contributors. A corpus is more than a publication format. A corpus implies completeness of the material it presents. Some of the corpora I referred to have been understandably, but often incorrectly, described as inventories. The American corpus is introduced as a volume which inventories the material preserved in American museums. An inventory aims normally to provide an exhaustive listing of all items within a collection. This makes old inventories of artifacts an invaluable source of information about, among others, the social history of collecting, matters of patronage and artistic taste, as well as techniques and economics of art. However, an inventory gives, if at all, only a brief description of objects listed and is rarely illustrated. As anyone who has tried to research a lost collection through its historic inventories would confirm, descriptive limitations, both textual and visual, may make the study incomplete and unreliable. Writing in the preface to the first volume of the Corpus of Anglo-Saxon Stone Sculpture, published in 1984, George Żarnecki emphasized the need to, I quote, a comprehensive catalogue, both descriptive and visual, of every surviving example of sculpture. Right from its inception in 1988, the aim of the Corpus of Ramanes Sculpture has been the very same need to record all extant Ramanes sculpture executed in the British Isles and Ireland between the middle of the 11th and the end of the 12th century. Some 5,000 sites featuring Romanesque sculpture have been identified. Another 1,000 are predicted. The sites are predominantly churches where Romanesque sculpture either remains in situ or has been reused as building material or decorates later architecture. Ex situ sculpture can be found in museums and private houses. The definitive number of sites is difficult to determine. It fluctuates as the recording progresses. Previously unknown sculpture has been discovered, recorded, and photographed by the project field workers for the first time. Individual pieces have been found in most unusual locations, sometimes put to a new use, such as a garden feature or gate ornament. Sculpture, especially external decoration, is exposed to weathering, pollution, and other damage. Sadly, it happens that sculpture is vandalized, as in the recent case of Bunton in Sussex. The figure of the so-called Sheila Nagig, or female exhibitionist, on the north impost of the Chancel Arch has been recorded prior to the damage in November 2004 by Catherine Morrison, the CRSBI investigator, who visited the site in 1997. The CRSBI is playing an important role through its routine fieldwork in drawing attention to the significance of the Romanesque heritage, as well as through other actions that have been undertaken on a number of occasions to alert the custodians of sculpture and the general public alike to the issues in its conservation and preservation. The project raises the awareness and enables knowledge of this medieval heritage, not only through fieldwork, but also through research activities, and in particular through the project website, as well as the ever-growing network of professional and private contacts. Looking from this broad perspective, the corpus is not only an inventory and descriptive catalogue of Romanesque sculpture, it is also a wide information network. Furthermore, and this is important, the CRSBI is likely to have a defining impact on what has been termed corpus scholarship. In line with general interdisciplinary tendencies in the humanities in recent decades, corpus scholarship has been informed by methodological and theoretical developments in linguistics. In linguistics, corpora, and I quote, were originally engaged mostly in providing detailed descriptions of linguistic phenomena, and corpus-based computations were primarily concerned with practical applications and were coupled with the commitment to the systematic and exhaustive analysis, end quote. This is now changing. The scholarly debate on the current shift in old paradigms is complex and seems unnecessarily divisive. For the sake of simplicity, corpus scholarship in the context of the CRSBI is defined in here traditionally, that is, as the process of describing and analyzing a complex body of primary evidence in order to interpret an individual object or phenomenon, be it a place, a piece of sculpture, a site, an artistic school, geological material, and so on. Żarnecki believes that, I quote, any individual example is best seen and understood as one of a series, as he commented in 1984 on this kind of typology adopted by the Anglo-Saxon corpus. Some 20 years later, and with notable change in terminology, Fred Orton expressed the view of the very same corpus as enabling of knowledge insofar as it permitted the visibility of an object to pass into discourse. Orton was also critical of the way in which the process of seeing and describing in the corpus is overtly concerned with recognition of similarities, distracting from, rather than encouraging, the understanding of what he termed the insights of objects. Despite this and other criticisms, the compare and contrast approach remains at the core of stylistic, iconographic, and many other studies. It is also common to casual appreciation of artifacts. As an example of such use of the CRSBI material, I should like to quote Tom Russo, professor of art history at Drury University, Springfield, Missouri, and also the corpus field worker for Lincolnshire. And I quote, I use the CRSBI website primarily in two ways, research and teaching. I find it extremely useful in my own research on medieval sculpture in Lincolnshire when I want to look for comparanda of sculptural iconography or typology, particularly if I know that a single patron had ties to a number of parishes or monastic centers, then I will look at those related sites outside of Lincolnshire to see if any art historical connections can be made. The same goes in the case of workshops that may have been active in a particular region. In the latter case, the maps with the sites of 12th century material would be extremely useful. End quote. The function of the corpus is primarily to describe and illustrate. The CRSBI is doing exactly that, county by county, site by site, feature by feature. Its electronic rather than book format transforms this traditional function entirely and adds considerably to its potential applications. The corpus of the project website has the advantage over the books of seamlessly incorporating new knowledge, latest research, and correction of unavoidable, hopefully rare, errors. Unlike the book corpora referred to earlier, it is unlikely that the online CRSPI will require updating through the use of appendices. These advantages of publishing online no longer require explanation. In practical terms, hosting site reports online in small batches on a case-by-case basis without waiting for full coverage of the whole county considerably speeds up the process. The project website has been used since 2005 by students on the English Romanesque Sculpture course at the Faculty of Fine Arts at York University, Toronto. Professor Malcolm Thirlby, who devised and lectures on the course, comments, I quote, "The corpus website was used by the students for their research presentations and essays. It was a great success in that the material was accessible 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. No problem with too few copies in the library." End quote. This is another, now generally acknowledged benefit of electronic teaching resources that become especially valuable when access to primary material is not available. When describing sculpture, the corpus field workers are required to follow a strict order and submit the report in a prescribed format. The instructions are available on the project's intranet. And using approved terminology, and the glossary is freely available on the project's website. This method makes the reports consistent, easier to format and convert to XML documents. It is occasionally difficult for the corpus data to observe the rigor of the compulsory design of the entry, but generally the XML structure required little modification. It was devised by John Bradley at the Center for Computing in the Humanities at King's. Perl scripts are used to convert the original text files into XML for tagging glossary terms, generating indices, adding images and captions, and converting XML documents into web pages. The encoded text opens the records to a wide range of interrogation and contextualization. The project coordinator, Sophie Church, sees the encoding as instrumental for the objectivity of the retrieval it offers. She says, "The CRSBI, above all, provides comprehensive factual information organized within a logical search mechanism, enhanced by the formulaic and non-interpretative methods used to record the sculpture." End quote. Similarly to other electronic resources, the online corpus opens up a possibility of applying a variety of digital methodologies to its material, as well as linking to external resources. First, there is the option of moving to and incorporating digital methods of recording, mapping, and surveying. The project's voluntary field workers do not survey sculpture digitally. They use conventional measuring tapes, take notes in longhand, and some consider taking photographs with film-based cameras, preferably to digital photography. However, the black and white photography that had been prescribed during the infancy of the project is being gradually supplemented by color images. The Dogayet Kendilwar Forksha, the image was used for a postcard, and the tripod you can see on the left hand side image being removed for this purpose. All images require editing, but overall quality of images improves with digital photography, which makes time-consuming scanning carried out in-house redundant and speeds up editing and archiving. So this is a digital photograph, still a little bit of editing, but no problem with fingerprints, no retouching. Now we keep this image as an archival image in case fingerprints belong to someone very important. Removed, yeah. And editing sometimes is necessary to just to make an unusable image usable. The CRSBI image archive now holds some 40,000 master images. There are many digital methods for mapping, surveying and recording which could be applied to Romanesque sculpture. Panoramic imaging, GIS, close-range photogrammetry and three-dimensional modeling, among other methods, have already been used in a number of projects, including the recording of medieval sculpture. And I make a reference to Stuart Jeffrey's work, and I was delighted to meet him. Such methods, however, as we all know, are not without their problems and are very demanding on time and labor. The cost of hiring external technical expertise is beyond the means of the corpus. Venturing into digital surveying and 3D visualization would make records more accurate and possibly visually more attractive. This would also open up the corpus to further interdisciplinary studies. At this time, however, such new techniques would distract from, possibly jeopardize, the project's main priority that has always been the completion of fieldwork. It would also be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to apply the new methods to the corpus material consistently. The project has investigated potential cooperation with postgraduate students of photogrammetry and the possibility of adopting individual pieces of Romanesque sculpture, such as baptismal fonts, as subjects of dissertations. If there is a positive outcome to this initiative, a demonstration of such work could be presented on or linked to the corpus website for evaluation. The second point I should like to raise here is general. It is concerned with the way in which digital environments are transforming corpus scholarship and affect the concept of completeness that is inherent to corpora. Is an online corpus confined to the information contained within its web pages? It remains to wait and see to what extent the CRSBI offers new opportunities for interactive exploration and contextualization of Romanesque stone sculpture. A font like these was and still is central to a religious ritual and part of a ceremony. So how do we record this context, for example? A concern was addressed at the early stages of the project, namely that owing to the nature of the corpus entries, I quote from the committee meetings, minutes of the committee meeting, the distinction between description and judgment in areas such as the dating of material might not always be sufficiently clear, end quote. This can be regarded as an expression of general criticism of corpus scholarship as blurring the distinctions between description, analysis, and interpretation of archaeological evidence. Today's scholarship increasingly relies on inquiry that resorts to digital methodologies and e-resources, making this question even more complicated, the distinctions even more blurred, and ambiguities even more prominent. Recent work on mapping interpretative ambiguities on virtual reality models of historic architecture, as well as the method of digital archaeosynthesis that was popular in the 1990s, attempted addressing these issues. Some of the problems or challenges and the evolving role of corpora seem common to other disciplines. Digital technology brings various disciplines closer, raising hopes for solutions in interdisciplinary corpus scholarship. The distinctions between place and time, text and objects that have been imposed on this seminar for, I hope, practical reasons, I believe should not exist in corpus scholarship. However, while doing my fieldwork in Oxfordshire, I was reminded of the perils along the way. Thank you.